Isn't it great to hear about what God's doing and how He's working in people's lives? With the Christmas season here, we are entering into a time of waiting. I think Christmas, if you think about it, is the one day that is waited for, anticipated more than any other day in our calendar year. It's something we're looking forward to. Something most people get excited about because of the memories they've had, because of telling the Christmas story, maybe the songs, the decorations. There are some that it's a difficult time because they've lost loved ones and things have happened. But either way, there's a waiting that goes on with it. Either waiting for it to get here, or maybe for some it's like, I'm just waiting for it to get over because it's a difficult time, but there's waiting. And that's part of Christmas. When you think about the concept of waiting, though, how exciting is that for you? It's like waiting. Are you one of these people that goes to the supermarket and say, you know, I look for the longest line because I just enjoy waiting? No. How many of you trying, okay, I'm debating which line, looking, evaluating, then I determine how good I did. You know, I'm watching the other lines as they're going down. So, oh, I blew it. I picked the wrong line. We did that the other day at Costco. It was a disaster. It's like, oh my, you know, I'm almost starting to sweat because it's like this line is taking so, and that line is moving so quickly. Should I switch? Because they don't want to wait. You know, with that in mind, it's interesting because God has put on my heart to speak on this subject of waiting on God. And I look at that and say, that does not sound too exciting. How many of you get excited? Waiting on God? Why do we have to wait on God? I mean, I already know God and He's with me. And we just need not to be waiting. We need to be doing. We need to get after it. Forget this waiting. Who wants to wait? God's with me. Let's just go. So why wait? Why is that something we should do? And what does that really mean? That's what I want to talk about this morning, because I think it's... I know that... Let me try this one thing. Let's see if that gets any better. So I want to talk about what waiting looks like, because I think there's a misunderstanding of what waiting on the Lord is. It's actually very active. It's not passive. It's not, okay, Don, if you're going to talk about waiting on the Lord, that means I'm supposed to get in a comfortable chair. I'm supposed to sit there and say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm waiting. No, that's not what waiting is, okay? And I want to explain what it is and what it is not. And I want to do that by starting with some verses. Because I want you to see in these verses what they're saying about waiting on the Lord. Okay? And as you'll see in the outline, it says Philippians 2:8-11. Because the first part of this week, I was preparing to do that. Spent the whole week. I got lots of notes on Philippians 2:8-11. Come Friday, I felt, I don't think I'm supposed to talk on this Sunday. I think God wants me to talk on waiting on the Lord, which I thought I was going to do a couple weeks ago, and I changed my mind. And then come Friday, it's like God says, this is what you need to talk on. And I don't know about you. You know what? I start thinking to myself, what is your problem, Don? You know, aren't you listening to the Lord? And because I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting till Friday to change my whole sermon to give it to you Sunday. That's not something I really love doing. And yet I felt God was saying, no, this is what you need to talk on. Philippians 2:8-11 is another day, another Sunday, but this is a Sunday I want you to talk on this. And I'm saying, okay. So with that in mind, let me read some verses to you. I'm going to put them up on the screen, and if you take that note sheet out, you can certainly write notes on these verses. And look at what these verses say about waiting on the Lord, and see if that somewhat stirs in you, saying, okay, maybe there's something to this waiting on the Lord. Now, you explain what it means, Don, but maybe there's some validity that I need to consider this more. Okay? Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Do you see what's tied to waiting here? Strengthening, courage, protection, help. How much of that is needed in your life right now? To be strong in the Lord, to find your strength coming from Him, to be strong against temptations that you face in your day-to-day life, of needing courage to advance the kingdom of God in our community, in our neighborhoods. How much do you need help in dying to yourself, in getting away from life being all about you rather than God? How much do we need help in saying no to sin, of living a holy life, of bringing glory and honor to God in our lives? How much do we need the courage to make changes in our lives, to have the courage and strength to get out of the ruts that we find ourselves falling into and can't seem to get out of? How much do you need to be shielded by our Lord from the things that discourage you, that get us to doubt our God and who He is? To have the courage to say, God, enough is enough. I'm choosing to be sold out for You and You alone. Do you feel weak? Do you feel a lack of motivation, a desire for more of God? Do you see the need for God to be working your life in your heart more, giving you strength, giving you courage, help, to be your shield? This is what my heart is longing for. It's what I need. I believe it's what God wants for all of us, and we find that in waiting on Him. Now, these aren't isolated verses. I want to give you some more verses to see these words from God, to hopefully stir your heart, to create a thirst, saying, okay, tell me more about what this waiting means and what it looks like, okay? Look at these other verses that talk about it. Jeremiah, are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Are you not He, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait for You, since You have made all these. Psalm 62, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. For You I wait all the day long. So You, by the help of our God, return, hold fast to love, justice, and justice, and wait continually for Your God. And then lastly here, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in You. Deliver me from all my transgressions. All of these verses expressing the need to be waiting on the Lord in their time of need and for God to be moving. So can you see that maybe there's something to this waiting on God that I need to understand a little bit more? You know, in our moving forward meetings, we've talked about as a church some of the things that have come up about the need to grow in our fellowship of one another, of growing what it means to love one another, getting to know one another. We've looked at in developing men's ministry, of raising up the next generation of spiritual leaders, men who will be spiritual leaders. We've talked about advancing the kingdom by reaching out to our neighborhoods and showing the love of Jesus. And moving ahead in these areas will only happen if God is moving in our hearts. We want to be serving out of God moving in us, and not just out of duty and obligation, because out of duty and obligation is of the flesh, and there's no power in the flesh. Man, what we need is to be moved by God, and I believe that moving of God comes from waiting upon Him. So what is involved in waiting on Him? As I said, it's active. It's not a passive thing. But we have to understand that God is the one who does it all. The reason we're going to God and waiting on Him is because He alone is the one who can do it. He is the one only who can change our hearts. He is the one that moves in people's lives. He is the one that makes things happen. All good comes from Him. None of it comes from us. And so we understand I need to wait on the Lord because I need God to be moving in my heart and in my life and in our church here. So how is waiting on the Lord active? Well, let's look back at one of these verses. For example, let's look back at Psalm 25:5. If I can get there, it is. Okay. Look what it says there. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. For You I wait all the day long. Look what the psalmist is saying here. He is saying, I'm waiting on You, Lord, to move in my heart as I am looking to Your truth and looking for You to teach me. You see that here? He's waiting on God by coming to his word, opening up the word and reading it and say, okay, God, now you teach me. You show me what I need to understand, what I need to apply to my life, what things from this passage here that I'm reading that you need to do in my heart, that you need to impress upon me. Now, you need to understand, this is much more than simply saying, okay, I'm supposed to read my Bible. People can read their Bible and not much happen in their hearts. And maybe you know people that are like that. They know the Bible, but you just wonder, wow, where's the love of God? Something's not right here. David is speaking here. He's saying, God, lead me in your truth and teach me as I wait upon you. So he says, as I'm coming before you, Lord, and as we have the opportunity, we learn and from the truth, which is God's word, as I'm coming before your truth, God, I'm waiting upon you to move in my heart, to speak to me. Not simply to check off, hey, I read my Bible today, but say, God, as I'm coming before your word, I need you to teach me. I need you to show me the truth and what needs to sink into my heart. Not simply truth here, but truth here. That's what waiting on the Lord does. And that's how it is active. Because if God doesn't move in our hearts, we've got nothing. We've got nothing, you guys. God wants to be real to us. His word is to be alive and powerful. And it's only powerful if God is moving in our hearts. And you know that when they teach the Bible as literature in schools, there's no power in that. It's just literature. This is a living word. And so as we come to the Lord, as we come to his word, the waiting aspect is saying, okay, God, you need to move in my heart. I need to hear from you. What is it you want to teach me today? So as we spend time in his word and we wait upon him to move, what happens is God becomes our delight. And we start experiencing him in a real and personal way. And this comes from us waiting upon God. Okay, God, you've got to do it. It's not just I read and it automatically happens. No, God, I need you to move. David says, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Secondly, he's active when it comes to what we are not to do. Look at Psalm 39, 7 through 8. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. He's talking about waiting on the Lord, and in that process of waiting, looking to God to work, he says, may you deliver me from my sins. May you work in my heart. Now, don't miss this important point I'm going to make here. This is huge because I think we get confused on this whole issue of sin and temptation and struggles in our life. We will not be delivered from our sins, from our struggles, by focusing on our sins and being consumed with trying to stop them. That's not how we will be delivered from them. I've been down that path many times, and it just leads to frustration. Focusing on them doesn't help. There's no power there. Remember, we're not God. He's the only one that can deliver us. He's the only one that has the power against the temptations that we face. Deliverance comes from waiting on the Lord, drawing near to him, and in so doing, growing in our love and being consumed with him and the Lord, that the evil things of this world lose their hold on us because God is filling our hearts. Deliverance comes from pressing into God and waiting on him moving in our lives, not trying harder not to sin. Totally different things. Do you understand that? See, the world tries hard not to do things. That's just self-effort. We've got God in us. And he's saying, do you draw near to me? You wait upon me. And as you grow and as I move in your heart, all of a sudden these things of the world won't seem so important and won't have their hold on you. I say this from personal experience. As a result of coming back from my trip in the 1st of October and saying, God saying I need to be more desperate for him, and I started really an effort of this concept of waiting on God, coming before him in his word, coming to him in prayer and just waiting to get, God, you've got to move, calling upon him to break me, to show me, to do whatever he needs to do. But God, I just need more of you, and doing that. And one of the ways I've done that is spend more time doing that is I fast from breakfast now, and I just spend that time I've normally spent eating and just focusing on the Lord, because I say, God, I just need you. And I share that not because I'm some spiritual giant, because I am so needy for more of God in my life. And God is moving me, saying, man, if you want me to work, I just feel he's saying, I need to be more serious. And so that's how God has moved me. And let me tell you what's happened as a result of that. I can see in my life areas of struggle that are not much of a struggle anymore. Things I've struggled with most of my life. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I don't seem to be struggling with that so much anymore. And it wasn't because I'm thinking about it. It's because I'm not thinking about it, because God is filling my heart with him. That's what he's talking about here. That's what we need. And I share that with you because I believe that's the path to getting past these things that have a hold on our lives. It's, man, I need more of you, God. I want to wait upon you to move in my heart and to change me. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. And he does that as we wait upon him, as we open up his word, as we come to him in prayer and say, God, do what you need to do. I want more of you, and I'm waiting for you to move in my heart. Don't you want that? Man, to God to be more real to you. Thirdly, waiting on the Lord is active in by living holy lives, lives that honor him. Look what David also says in 37, 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land you will look on when the wicked are cut off. Interesting, he's saying waiting on the Lord, but he also says keep his way. And I look at that and say, you know what he's saying here? He says, as we wait, as we're calling upon him, as we're drawing near to him, as we get into his word, he says, we also need to live a holy life, to live in a way that is honoring to him. You cannot say, okay, I'm going to the Lord, but I'm just continuing to live this way, and it doesn't really matter because I'm just spending time with him. He's saying, no. If you want to open the door of God moving in your heart, then you need to desire to, God, I want to do things your way. That's what David understood. I'm waiting, but I'm also keeping your ways. Those two go together. Waiting involves living for him, for this help opens a door for God to move in our hearts. Because if we are living selfish and self-serving lives, if we're doing our own thing and not concerned about the things of God, it's going to be pretty hard for God to move in our hearts. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you. Look, there's a promise there. It says, if you do that, you wait upon me, and you say, God, I want to live for you. Look what he says, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. He says, I will work, but you got to come to me. Got to live for me. God, move me. And lastly, running out of time here, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 37. Real quickly, I'm just going to go through this. Because I want you to see here, this is fascinating, Psalm 37, another Psalm of David's, and he's going to talk about things to do, but also then he talks about this in the concept, all encircled in the concept of waiting upon him as well, which may seem to contradict itself. But so I want to show you how waiting is active. So Psalm 37, verse 3, look at the action statements he's making here. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. That's taking action. And do good, taking action. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Verse 6, he will bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now stop. Let me stop there. Can you see what there could be? If you understand waiting just to be sitting and doing nothing, am I supposed to wait? Am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to wait, or am I supposed to trust and delight and commit and do good? Which one am I supposed to do? This, or am I supposed to wait? David's saying it's not either or, it's both. Waiting is drawing near to the Lord. Waiting is asking him to work in and through me as I trust in you, as I do good, as I delight myself in you, as I commit my ways to you. It's active. This is what involved in waiting on the Lord. So with that, I just want to ask you, are you ready to wait on the Lord? Ready to come before Him and continue to wait, saying, God, you got to move in my heart. God, as I open up your word and spend time with you, man, you've got to make it come to life. You've got to make it real. It's not simply what I do, but I need to wait upon you to move. Do you want that? A couple things here, several things I've written down of thoughts with this. If they're helpful for you, great. If not, you know what? I'm not worried about that. Some of the things that came to my mind. You got to get serious of wanting more of God in your life. Are you serious? Do you want more of God in your life? You guys, sometimes I feel we've listened to the world too much and the evil too much and thinking, I just can't get to know God that well and be that meaningful to me and that close to Him. You know, it just doesn't seem to happen to me. Is that what the Bible tells us is true? That God can't be known? That we can't be moved by Him? That we can't draw near and have Him touch our hearts? The Bible says that's possible. Stop believing the lie. If you're there, then I'm a hopeless case. That's a lie. God says, wait upon me. How serious are you? Do you really want more of God in your life? Wait on Him. And God's continuing to say, I need to wait more and more. He's not letting me off on this one, saying, oh no, I need to keep waiting. I need more of Him. 2, take time to spend with Him in His Word, waiting upon Him to move in your heart. You say, boy, I'm going days and I'm praying and God's not moving. Well, you keep going. You keep waiting. Isn't that what waiting is? Okay, God, you can't force God's hand, can you? You know what? And it may be something He says, I got to do something in your life before you're ready to hear from me. And He may bring some conviction in your life that needs to be dealt with. 3, know that as, I can't even read that. Know that as that God, I'm not very good at writing, am I? Know that as God moves in me, He takes away my sins, filling me with Him instead. What I talked about, that concept of that as we draw near, He takes those things away. 4, choose to live for Him, knowing this opens up the door for Him to move in your heart. Man, I want to live for you, Lord. 5, keep praying for Him to move in your heart, waiting on the Lord to move. Don't stop no matter how long it takes. It's worth waiting. He's worth waiting for. He is our only hope. And He will do it. Wait upon the Lord. What has convinced me to talk to you and share with you a little bit about this is because of what God is doing in my life as a result of waiting on Him. And I want you to experience that same thing in your life, where God is becoming more real, where He's taking away things in your life that have been a struggle for you simply because you're getting to know Him deeper in a real way. It's not complicated, but it needs commitment and a desire to say, okay, God, I want more of you, and I'm going to wait upon you actively. If we are to move forward as a church and growing in our fellowship and growing and raising up leaders, men who will be spiritual leaders, if we're going to grow and being able to reach our neighborhoods with the love of Jesus Christ as we advance the kingdom, it's because we're waiting on Him to move in us and to move in the hearts of others. And you know what I yearn to hear for? I was just talking to someone the other day. You know, I don't really get excited at all about if someone says, oh, that was a great sermon, and that was awesome, and da-da-da-da-da. You know what I yearn to hear from people's conversations? I yearn to hear people say, you know what? God's moving in me, and I just find myself wanting to spend more time with Him. I find myself wanting to get into His Word. Or God's putting my neighbors on my heart more. And God's moving in me. That's what I want to hear. To me, because that's God. And only God can do that. I can't make that happen in your life. Only God can. When I hear people saying, man, I'm experiencing some victory in an area of my life that I am victory. I can't remember how long it's been. That's God moving. And that is found in waiting upon Him. Lastly, this is a verse we know so well, but do you really know what it's saying? You know this verse. Look at what this verse is. Isaiah 40:31, right? How does this start off, you guys? But they who wait for the Lord. You think waiting's not important? This is a verse I think we know. Say, oh yeah, but do we do it? Do we really want to wait on the Lord? Because those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We've got to wait on the Lord. And He will do it as we press into Him, as we press into His Word and saying, God, move, change me, break me, do whatever it takes so you'll become more real and personal in my life. That's what it is to wait upon Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that, Lord, and as I look at these scriptures, talk about waiting, it's because you want to be known. You want to move in our hearts. And we've got to cry out to you. We sometimes think it's just by doing a lot, but it's really coming before you and saying, okay, you move. You open my eyes and my heart. Lord, I pray that will be true of us as a church. And only you can do that. And so may we be faithful in waiting upon you to move and to act in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we do communion, we're going to do it like we did a couple weeks ago. I think there's something powerful of us. One of the things we just want to get away from, maybe things just being a little too formal sometimes, and make it more personal. And we just feel maybe making more personal the communion of coming before the Lord is having you come to the table. And as we did the other time, if there's someone in your pew that you recognize getting up and down is difficult for them, maybe just come and say, can I, you know, would you like me to get the elements for you and serve them in that way? But I want you to think about it, as you're coming before the table, and there'll be a table in the back as well, so up in the balcony, there'll be a table back here. If you're closer to the back, you can go back there and get these elements. But understand that, man, I'm coming before you, Lord. This is your table. You have died for me. You've given your life for me, and we're coming together as a body, as one. And I'd like you to take both elements when you come forward, and then to hold them, because I'd like us, as a symbol of our unity, of a symbol of us coming together and one in Christ, of taking these elements together. And if you're a guest here, and if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, so I don't have that relationship with Him yet, then I encourage you not to come and get these elements, because it's really, once you've come to understand Jesus, and He's your Lord and Savior, and you have a relationship with Him, that's what these elements are for. If you're not quite there yet, then just say, you know, I need to wait. I don't quite understand it yet, and I'm processed, but just wait and say until I'm ready to come to faith in Christ. And if that's something you want, then, you know, that's something you can do right now. If you're saying, boy, I do want to know Jesus like you're talking about. I didn't know it could be real. It could be personal. And all it's a matter of saying, recognize I've got sin in my life, and I need to be made right with God. And that forgiveness is found through Jesus, who came to the cross. The juice represents His blood that He shared, knowing that He had to die because sin was so bad. It took the death of Jesus to provide forgiveness. And saying, I need Jesus in my life. I recognize I need forgiveness. I want to be made right with God. And then you pray, saying, Jesus, I put my faith and trust in You. You came, You died, and You rose from the grave. It's that simple, but it needs to be from your heart. If that's your desire, then you can pray that and ask God, and He will come into your life and to save you, and you'll enter into a relationship with Him. So if you already know Him, now if you need to do some work before you come to the table, if you realize I've got some issues and some sin in my life that I have not confessed and repented of, then I encourage you, if you can't do it right now and you're not serious about it, then you need to, don't come up to the table then. Say, I need to get right with Him before I do this. But if you need to take time to confess and repent now, then do that now and then come to the table, knowing that, okay, there, as far as I know, there's nothing I'm holding back from You. So we come together as one, knowing that Jesus has done it all. And as Pastor Duane talked about, looking forward to when He returns. Okay? So, Mike is here. Mike is going to just be playing some music in the background. I'm just going to give you time. You come when you're ready to come. Take the elements, return to your seat, and then we'll partake of those together. But let me just pray real quickly, and then proceed. Father, I do pray, Lord, that this be a coming together as one in You. As we come, physically come to the table. We're saying, Lord, I'm a child of Yours. You've done it all. And I want to remember the sacrifice you have made so that I can have a relationship with you. So as I wait upon you, you reveal yourself and move in my heart. Oh God, that's what we want. Lord, I pray if there's any here that need to deal with some things beforehand, before they come to the table, that they will take that seriously and deal with them. And Lord, so we can come together as one in you. We thank you, and we pray these things in your Son's name.